What's going on, everybody? It finally happened. They finally lost. And I'm not that mad. But we'll talk about that. Off the Cliff Show, brought to you by 14th Market Podcast Network. If you are listening, no matter where you're listening in or watching, make sure that you hit that like, you hit that subscribe button. It means a lot to me. Thank you for all the support through my first Sixer season. Well, y'all get what I'm saying. But yeah, hit that like, subscribe button real fast. But yeah, man, not going to do an intro to this one either. Playoff edition still. Sixers lose to the Knicks. Game six at the Wells Fargo Center. Lose the series in six games. I'm not mad, man. I'm really not. Like, they showed me everything that I wanted to see going into the offseason. Like, they played hard. Joel Embiid had 39. Maxey got going late. Like, Kelly Oubre played well. We'll talk about the others, and y'all know exactly who I'm talking about. But like, they did what they had to do. It was always gonna be tough. We all knew it going into the offseason. I mean, not going into the offseason, going into the playoffs, like with championship aspirations. But we all knew it was gonna be tough because of how the season went. Joel's injury. It was multiple injuries on the roster the entire season. We always knew that it would be tough. And I think we all knew that the Knicks were the worst first round matchup for them going into the playoffs, and how like that last day shook out. Like, that was like the worst possible outcome to take. Get, like, the New York Knicks were hot, got MVP candidate Jalen Brunson. Like, they were playing really well, got the 2 seed. But like, so like, shout out to Knicks fans. Shout out to the Knicks. Like, we was going back and forth, but that's a passionate city. It's a passionate basketball fan base, because you have no other sports to care about. Like, the Giants, the Jets, the whatever baseball. Oh, the Yankees and the Mets. Like, hockey, whatever. But we're not talking. We're talking about real sports. But passionate basketball city. Pretty much what I expected out of them. They're a little emotional. Not really, you know. I'm not going to slander Knicks. Shout out the Knicks, man. Shout out Brunson. Shout out everybody. Yeah, but it was always going to be tough, especially going into the playoffs with Joel's knee still not looking exactly right since he came back. It was gonna be tough. It's good things to take from this series. Like, Maxey proved that. Well, Maxey, like, he arrived. He proved that he is a star. He has the potential to be a number one option. Didn't have a great game six, but he got it going late when they needed him the most. Joel Embiid did not shy from the moment, even in that game five where he looked sluggish coming out of the gate for three quarters of that game. And then finally, once Maxey got it going, like, Joel decided he was going to do all the little things and showing like he could be a true leader. He doesn't need to score, and then show a little bit a different dynamic of how the Sixers can build the roster moving forward. So wasn't really mad how the game played out. Jalen Brunson went off. They got beat essentially on that Josh Hart three, which I tweeted out before it happened. I said, hey, look, the way Jalen Brunson was playing, you got to double team him on the final shot, because you don't want Jalen Brunson beating you. You don't want that narrative. Like, if you double team Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart gets a shot off because he's open, you live with those results. And that's just like, this basketball is what happens. That's the odds. Really not much to say there. Like, the game was the game. We knew that it was going to be tough. Like, then they still would have had to win game six, then go win game seven coming back from down 3-1. Then you got to go into the next series going against an up and down Indiana Pacers team with Joel's knee. Like, you don't know how that shakes out, right? So honestly, it might feel or be better that they ended the season now. Joel gets to recover. Recoup his knee. Maybe he doesn't have to rehab. He's still gonna have to do like little rehab, but maybe he doesn't have to fully rehab. He can go into the offseason, get some conditioning. I know I'm in the minority of still saying, like, I want him to play for Team USA. Like, I want him to get the experience. I want him to be around those players. I just like watching him play basketball. Like, I would love to see him play for Team USA. I don't want him missing out on opportunities because of his injuries and like being scared to play basketball. So that's where I'm coming from with that. It's very, very selfish reason. And also, I just want him to not miss out on opportunities. Just back on Joel, right? So a couple things that needs to happen in the offseason for the Sixers. I talked about it. Like, he showed a different aspect of his game. He needs to completely change his game in the offseason. So he needs to go down to, I talked about it on the last show, he needs to go more of like the Tim Duncan route, Brooke Lopez route, two completely different caliber of players, but same type of, you know, how they changed their career up. Tim Duncan went to pretty much a face-up game, doing everything else, grabbing rebounds, focusing on defense. Like Brooke Lopez does the same thing as well, stretching his game out. We know Joel, we know Embiid can do that. It's just like, does he have the willingness to take a step back from the offense and not be the focal point in order for him to focus on all of the little things like rebounding, like defense, getting his shots in rhythm of the game. I think that's something that he did really well last night in game six. Like the Knicks really sold out to stop Maxey from getting into any type of rhythm because they knew he would be the number one option coming into the game. And that's why Joel pretty much had 39. He didn't force anything. Maxey would come off the pick and roll. The Knicks would just hard trap him, and then they would just leave Joel open. Their entire game plan was, all right, well, if Joel beats us, then Joel beats us. He would get open on that little nail area or the elbow or the wing. It was a lot of times he got deep post position. The Knicks were just letting him go one-on-one. And that's because they were just so focused on Maxey. But you see the type of game Joel had. He didn't look tired at any point. He looked great on defense. He was getting whatever shot he wanted. Everything was in rhythm of the offense. It wasn't forcing him the ball. And I think that's what the Sixers need to do going forward. I'll talk about it in another video as far as what I want them to do in the offseason. But, like, go get another wing. I know they've been talking about Paul George. Anybody of that caliber to make sure you have another shot creator on the floor to where, okay, you say, Joel, you take a step back. If the ball does get around and get to you and you're in the position to score, like, go ahead. But what's going to happen is Maxey's going to be the number one option. That wing or shot creator is going to be the number two. We're going to run the offense through them. You focus on all the little things. You set hard screens. You grab rebounds. You focus on defense. You focus on the defensive calls on the back line. Like, you do everything else to where you're not tired out in the fourth quarter when it comes to close the game or when it comes to we need a bucket, because you'll have enough energy and we've preserved yourself for you to score when needed. And it also will preserve his body as far as, like I said earlier, like him going to a face-up game. We're maybe working on that a bank shot, getting a little bit more finesse, not as much power, only like still implement the power game into your game and make sure like and only use it when you have like smaller defenders on you, like OG with the Knicks, which the Knicks tried doing. He abused OG when you have smaller players on you and focus on passing the ball and different things like that. So that's what I think he needs to work on in the offseason. I do think he needs to lose a little bit more weight. I think he needs to get back to around that 2017 weight that he was playing at. He looked really light, looked really agile, looked really fast. So if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, that Raptor series, the Kawhi shot, but what he looked like then and how he moved. I like that, Joel. Defer to Maxey. Like, I think we all saw that Maxey should be the number one option going forward. And whoever else they get as far as shot creation should be the number two option. And Joel should go either. It'll depend on the game, but like they'll have an option to go, okay, Joel, you're the number two this night, or Joel, you're the number three, or Paul George, you're the number two, you're the number three, and Joel's number two. Like, they'll have the optionality of, okay, well, Paul George, now you're the number one tonight. They'll have the optionality to switch it up. And of course, Joel is going to have his nights where he goes off and he has 45 points. But as long as it comes in the rhythm of the offense, it's not forced to him, and you're not like, oh my God, Joel, we need you to score every single time down the floor for us to get a good possession or for us to get points. Like, as long as it's not that, then I think the Sixers will be fine. I think Joel realized that in this series. I did see him grow up a little bit. Others might not have seen it, but definitely saw it. So I was proud of Joel, proud of Tyrese, proud of a lot of guys on the roster. Kelly Oubre showed up. Like, essentially the only guys that I want back on this Sixers team all showed up yesterday. Kelly Oubre, let me see, Joel Embiid with 39 points. Hold on, let me see. All right. Kelly Oubre was 17-5. Joel was 39-13. Maxey was 17-5. Campaign hit some big. He only had six. I feel like he had like four threes. Campaign was 6 points. It was an electric 6 points, so he bought the energy off the bench. Batum will probably retire. He had 16. Buddy Hield, like, I'm fine with Buddy Hield coming back. He had 20 points. Like I said, everybody who showed up last night is essentially basically who I would want back on the Sixers. Kelly Oubre, Joel, Maxey, Campaign, Batum if he doesn't want to retire, and I'll take Buddy Hield for cheap. So, like they all showed up, and these are the type of players that you want on your team that bring energy, that will show up in the big games, and that will help your co-stars be able to close the game. So that was dope to see last night. Like I said, wasn't mad. Like, it's just what happens. Tyrese Maxey, like I said, did not have the best game. 17 points. Let me see what he shot here. Shot 6 for 18, so 33%. But, oh, he only hit 1-3. Yeah, whatever. But, yeah, like, he got going late. I think he had, like, 9 points or 10 or 11 points in that fourth quarter. Really brought the Sixers back into the game because he noticed, like, it was his time. What I want Maxey to work on, and it's kind of like is working on, he has to work on it, and also the Sixers had to send like a memo out to the refs or something. He got to learn how to flop, bro. That's just what it is. Like, Jalen Brunson essentially won them the game last night because he was going around the screen, something that I thought the NBA banned, but he going around the screen, and after getting the defender on his hip, he's jumping back into the defender and throwing his big Funko Pop head back into the Sixers defender, and the refs is calling fouls. Like, I thought they took that rule out after the Trae Young year. But nope, it's the Knicks, and the NBA found their darling. So they're going to just give every call to foul baiting Brunson, even though they know that he foul baiting. That's just something I don't understand. So going into the offseason, that's what Maxey and Drew Hanlon really have to work on. Maxey selling foul calls, not trying to actually finish every layup. Like, I don't want him to become a foul grifter, but I just want him to learn how to sell certain calls, especially when they need it, or when he really gets, but when he really get messed up and like really gets fouled going to the right, like, sell the call a little bit so the rest are like, all right, like, I have to call this. That's what he needs to just work on, drawing fouls. Like, I would love to see Maxey with 8 free throws a game next season, because I think he'll easily average 30. Like, he showed that he can easily be a number one option if the refs literally call anything for him. So that is one thing that I definitely want Maxey to work on in the offseason, and also change of pace. I'm not worried about that, because he has shown that he has worked on change of pace each season that he's been in the league. Instead of just always going fast, he's learned to slow it up a little bit, switch it back to slow, get into the middle of the lane, survey it, snake pick and rolls. Like, he's shown that he's worked on change of pace, but I just really want him to, instead of, it'll help with the fouls too, instead of always coming off the screen, going 100 miles per hour at the defender and down there with 3 different people in the lane and trying to finish some insane layup. Like, come around the screen, slow it up, get the defender on his hip. Basically the same thing Brunson does. Like, get the defender on his hip, survey it. If you got the pocket pass to Joel, if you got the throwback to Joel on a fade, whatever, right? Or if you can go attack, hit your little floater, or get all the way to the rim. But definitely something I want to see him work on. And now we're at the part where we talk about the two stars that had 0 points. I'm done. I like I told y'all a couple videos ago, bro, I did not have the energy to continue to slander Tobias Harris. What I will say, it is finally over. It is fitting that in his final game as a Sixer in the Wells Fargo Center, he has 0 points. And I say it's fitting because that's exactly what he has contributed to the Sixers run in his 5 years. 0. He has done absolutely nothing to push the Sixers over the hill in order to be a true championship contender. And he has provided nothing. I would trade him. Like he said, Sixers fans trade me for a crumb cookie. You're actually right. Honestly, I'm happy that it happened this way. I don't want you. I want you going for absolutely nothing. I want you released. He sucks. I'm tired of it. He put absolutely no input on that game last night. I didn't even tell that he played half the time. Now, credit, I think he only had like 3 minutes in the fourth. Whatever. But he still has 0 points. Let me see. 0, 4, and 3. He absolutely didn't contribute on the rebounds. Didn't contribute as far as playmaking within the offense. Only shot the ball 2 times. Like, there's no reason. Kelly Oubre has 14 shot attempts. Campaign got 8. Nick Batum got 7. Buddy Hield got 10. And you out here with 2 making $150 million. I'm done. I'm happy he is gone. He can go. I hope Detroit pays him. He goes there. And I hope that when he meets up with Joel and the Sixers eventually next season, that they dominate him and show that it was the right thing to let him go. He sucks. He's terrible. I don't understand how you have 0 points in a closeout game 6. that you know that you need this game. Literally, if he has three, the Sixers lost by three. If he has 10 points, 10, it's a convincing win. But no, he couldn't even give you that. Like, I can't even get mad at Kyle Lowry because it's 39-year-old Kyle Lowry. If you're depending on that to be, if you're depending on 39-year-old Kyle Lowry in your backcourt starting in a game six of playoff games, that's other roster construction issues. So I'm not even mad at that. We know what the Kyle Lowry's ball here for. Whatever. You score 0 points. Yeah, I'm mad. But like, Melton's injured, whatever. But Tobias, he gets no escape. He sucks, bro. Doesn't contribute anything in the offense. Everything is iso ball with him. It's basically essentially everything's about him. He doesn't play good defense. Doesn't rebound the ball at a consistent level. He doesn't get you assists. He doesn't play make. He doesn't do anything. Even that game five, yeah, he played well. But like, I knew once he had that 19-point game in game five and the way he was playing, I said there's absolutely no way he comes out and plays like that game six because he doesn't have the consistent intensity and mental lock in that it needs to consistently win in the playoffs in the NBA for a championship contender. There is always a tweet that Tobias is the best. He has a unique skill as always looking like the fourth best player on the court, no matter who is on the court. So that's when, if the Sixers are all injured, if another team is all injured, no matter what, when you need him to step up, he will never be able to do it. He will always look like the fourth best player on the court. I'm happy it's over. Good riddance. Morey has to answer for that. It should have never had. Well, Brand gave him that contract, but Morey has to answer for never being able to trade him. It's over. I'm done. Tobias Harris. See you. Bye. Oh my God. Hey, oh my gosh, Tobias. He's so bad, bro. They want to make this a little bit shorter, but I think another reason that I'm not mad as far as like the Sixers and then the offseason, like they have a direction that they're going in the offseason. Like they have a ton of cap space. They can clear up to $65 million in cap space, build a whole new team. I've already spoken about who I want back: Kelly Oubre, campaign, Buddy Hield, Nick Batum if he doesn't retire. They have the money to go look for a third star wing. Maybe you go trade for Donovan Mitchell. LeBron might be a free agency. I'm cool with LeBron signing LeBron on like a little 2-year deal because that's the window I think that you have. Signing Paul George, maybe seeing what's happening over in Phoenix. Maybe Devin Booker wants out, trading for Devin Booker. Like they have $60 million. They're going to have $65 million in cap space possibly with also four or five first round picks to trade. So they have a direction. There is something that they have I don't want to say a lot of options, but they do have options going into the offseason. This will be a completely different team around Joel Embiid. Not that I like that, because I think that you do need continuity as far as building a championship roster. Like, look at Denver, look at Milwaukee, look at the other teams out there that have won championships. Like, the core has been there for a while. But I think this is where you started, man. This is the first season Morey is going to finally, he's going to have to finally do his job and build a championship contender around Joel. One thing I do like that one of the reporters asked if Nick Nurse had an idea of what he wanted to do for Joel as far as roster construction. Nick Nurse said, like, with strong, I don't know the word, but he was basically strong and adamant saying, I know exactly what I want to put around Joel. I know exactly how to build a team around him. So that excites me. I'm happy for that. Like, I'm good that they go into the offseason. Joel gets to rehab a little bit. Like, it's another year of Maxi. They're going to have a completely different team. Hopefully, it's all athletes. Like, I want nothing on this team next season, but a bunch of players with Kelly Oubre's play style and traits and all under 28. That's all I want. Athletic wings, people that can dribble, shoot, rebound, play defense. I want all of that. I don't care how you get it. They got to be on a veteran minimum. Go look at like the young players that are barely getting minutes on other teams. Add them here, but you just need a bunch of athletes around Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, and the Sixers will finally have the opportunity to build that entire team around him because it's clear to see what he needs and what the Sixers need to be successful and to be a championship contender. So I'll be doing another video on that, like what I want to say, what exactly I want the Sixers to do, what options they have. I'll do another video on that, but just wanted to recap this season and the playoffs, man. But this is my first season covering the Sixers. I know, like, I started late coming from SI6. A lot of y'all follow me, so I really appreciate that. I want to thank everybody who has supported me up to this point, it has been greatly appreciated. If you liked the video, if you subscribed, if you just listened, if you looked at any video on TikTok or video, I mean on YouTube, like thank you so much. The content will continue to grow. We will continue to get better. It's going to be all off season content. Hopefully I can switch to the Eagles as well. That way I'll just go all off season to the Sixers, then switch to the Eagles. I'll probably turn this into like, since it won't be more games on, it'll probably just be like a per week episode thing, depending on what news comes out, what the Sixers can do. But yeah, man, appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for listening. And I'm out until the next video about the off season.